The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
What is up? Welcome back to another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome, recorded from Taipei, Taiwan. That is where I am currently sitting, in the Taipei airport. It has been a crazy last few days. My band Silverstein was over here in Asia. We played a show in Manila. And as we were playing the show, and I'm not saying we caused this to happen, but it was a really good show. It was an awesome show, actually. Well, a volcano erupted in Manila while we were on stage playing. And that, it was only about 30 miles away from where we were, which is pretty nuts. And there was ash, there was smoke, haze in the sky. And we couldn't leave. We were stuck in Manila for, well, we were supposed to actually not even be out yet because they couldn't get us on a flight. But now we were able, luckily, to get out because the wind started blowing, I guess, towards the south, away from Manila. So they were able to get some airplanes off the ground. But it was looking crazy. And it was like, at any moment, that volcano could have erupted again, and who knows how long we could be stuck there, because you can't, I guess you can't fly a plane into the volcanic ash in the sky, because what happens is it goes into the plane engine, heats up from the heat of the engine, and turns into lava. So, it's been a real crazy last couple days. I want to thank all the people in Manila who were so sweet to us, especially, you know, the promoter Pulp and all the people working for them that just took such good care of us and drove us to the airport and back and the airport and back when we couldn't get a flight, and made our hotel arrangements, and everyone at the B Hotel in Manila as well. It's been crazy, and I am very happy that we were able to get out of there unscathed, and we're not even going to miss any shows. We had a couple days off between our Manila and our Hawaii show, so it worked out, and we're going to be on our way to Hawaii in a few hours. We'll be playing there tomorrow or today, probably, if you're listening to this. So if you're in Hawaii, the great state of Hawaii, please come and hang out with us. We're playing at Hawaiian Brian's, playing Discovering the Waterfront from start to finish. So it's going to be a really, really, really great show. And if you don't live in Hawaii, you're very unlucky. But if you live anywhere else in the world, make sure you check out Silverstein20.com. That has all of our shows we have booked so far this year, celebrating 20 years. We're doing a lot of stuff. So get tickets, get VIP. Check that out right now. Anyway, this week, an amazing episode with a guy that I have wanted to have on the show since I started this thing. He is the epitome of Lead Singer Syndrome, Mr. Michael Starr of Steel Panther, a band that I have been, I mean, I talk about it pretty much right off the top of this interview, I talk about how I've been seeing them play since 2005 when they weren't even called Steel Panther yet. So I'm a big fan. This was a lot of fun. Gets a little serious at times. You know, it's not just all dick jokes, although there is quite a bit of that in this. But it was really, really great to pick Michael's brain, and he's a great dude, and I am so happy that they were so gracious. They had me out to their show and took time out of their very busy schedule to do this. So I really, really, really do appreciate that. Before we get into that, I want to remind you guys, you can always get in touch with me. You can hit me up. I read all my email, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. Make sure you follow us on social media, @leadsingersyndrome on Instagram, @leadsingersyn, S-Y-N, on Twitter, or on Facebook, all that good stuff. And if you want to support the show, please check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. If you want bonus content, more episodes coming at you, it costs as little as $6 a month. You get that bonus material. You also get access to merchandise shipped to your house, and you get to be a part of a great community, interaction with other fans of the show, interaction with me. I do Q&As. We have meetups all over the world. We got over 400 members, and it is a good time. And most importantly, it's what keeps this show going every single week for free. Without the All Access Club, I could not do that. So if you want to throw me a bone, check it out. The link is leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. And by the way, I am so excited about some of the great guests we have booked that are going to be coming up in the coming months. It is a very, very exciting time for the show. Hit that subscribe button. Make sure you're on it. And if you do enjoy the show, tell a friend, tell a loved one, write a review on iTunes. It all helps. Anyway, let's get into it. This week's episode with Michael Starr of Steel Panther.
'Cause my heart belongs to you. My love is pure and true. My heart belongs to you. But my cock is community property. You're the only girl that I like to screw when I'm
hey.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing, man? What's going on? Oh my God, no way. Oh, yeah.
We're doing it. I'm here with Michael Starr of Steel Panther. Dude, thank you for having me into your home. I'm on the back of the Steel Panther bus right now.
Yeah, and I don't know if you
noticed. Alone with Michael Starr.
Behind you is some artwork.
I was wondering about this. It's for the people that can't see this, which is everybody. It's a big art piece.
Yeah, it's a big art piece. It's hard to explain. It's one of those subjective pieces.
4 by 3 feet, maybe?
It's a subjective piece from Toronto, Canada, that our drummer Sticks picked up.
Okay.
For his mansion in Panorama City.
Okay.
And he's started to collect art now.
That's cool. Until someone drunkenly runs into it.
Yeah,
or
totally. It's lasted 4 shows so far, so we'll see.
So it's how much more of the tour do you have?
We have another week and a half, I think, and then we go home.
Okay. Yeah, so it might survive.
We're going to put it on the equipment pallet for a long shipping 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm from Toronto, actually.
Oh, are you?
So, yeah.
Yeah, there's a place he got it from called Urban something. I forget the name of it, but it's a chain out there.
Urban Barn?
Urban Barn, dude.
That's the thing.
Yep.
My friend's a manager. I could have got you a deal.
Oh, really? I'm going to tell him. He's going to be so bummed.
Yep. Shout out to my friend Danny. Dude, so I've been a big fan of yours for a long time. This is
really cool.
Thank you for doing this. And the podcast is called Lead Singer Syndrome, which, yeah, okay, you're laughing. You get
LSD,
it.
LSD, dude.
Okay, disease. Lead Singer Disease. And I feel like all the guests that I've had, almost all of them, they want to downplay that side of it. You know what I mean? They're, oh, no, we're all on the same level.
Right.
We're all the same here. I feel like for the first time, I might actually have a guest that's going to embrace the lead singer, the LSD, a little bit.
I have to tell you, a lot of things shot through my brain as you were saying all that dialogue, right?
Uh-huh.
So number one, what shot through the fabric of that perspective was when AC/DC switched their singer out and had the most massive selling record ever, Back in Black.
Right.
Right. And then you have David Lee Roth either get fired or quit,
yeah,
and Sammy Hagar get in the band, and they have even bigger hits.
Except nobody liked them.
But the bottom line is they sold a bunch of... So what I'm saying is the great equalizer, right?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, if you really want to bring it down, even Satchel will tell you this. He'll say, look, man, everybody hears the singer first. It's just the way it is. You know, and that's just the reality of being a singer. It's like, you know, Motley Crue. When you think of Motley Crue, you think of Nikki Sixx.
John Corabi.
You think of John Corabi.
I do not. No. Right. No, he's on the self-titled record. Yeah, dude. I don't know. I feel like Satchel, he might have the lead singer syndrome worse than you.
Well, we're all...
He's a bit of a diva.
We're all three of us in the front are lead singers.
Right.
Like Lexi used to be in a band.
Yeah.
And he used to be the lead singer. And then so I was in a band and I was lead singer and lead guitar player.
Yeah.
And then...
No, I heard you shred.
Oh, thanks. Cool.
I was trying to find...
not thanks, but cool.
I was trying to find the video of you playing guitar. I couldn't find one, though. Do you play much?
Yeah, not as much as I used to.
Yeah.
It's once I started working with Satchel 30 years ago, it's like I kind of just play it for myself now.
Yeah?
Yeah, because he's so good. Like, he's just a really amazing guitar player.
He's an animal, dude. He's
I don't know. And then Satchel, you know, he's a lead singer on his own, too, right?
Oh, is he?
Yeah, lead singer and, you know, main songwriter of the band, obviously. Yep. And so when we first started jamming together, it was really tough because I was like, dude, you don't need to talk on the mic. I got this shit.
Right.
So get off the mic.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Lexi, be quiet. I'm, you know, because, hey, man, this is what I do. I'm the lead singer. But that's not the way it is. We all share, well, not as much anymore. Like Satchel, thankfully, is really, he's good at talking to the audience. So he'll talk to the, he'll open up the show and start it, get it off the ground. And if I'm, and it used to annoy me. It used to be a struggle for us.
Oh,
and,
yeah, actually, though?
Oh, yeah, totally. Because I'm like, dude, I want to open the show. Who's let me open the show.
Right.
It was like, but then once we started touring for real,
you know,
and putting out records, we were doing like three on, one day off, four on. But every day was a travel day. There was not really a day off. And my voice started getting tired. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so grateful he can talk to the audience because I need to, like, chill.
Totally.
And relax. So there's been a flip side to it, you know, so I'm able to continue singing without working out my voice so much.
Yeah. Well, the fans love that too, though. When you, the interactions, you know, between you guys, that's some of the best parts of the show is that. But I've, you know, been a fan of yours, been seeing you guys for a very long time. The first time I saw you, I think, was like 2005.
Wow.
In Vegas when you were Metal School. You were playing like, it was like behind the strip. It wasn't on the strip. It was, I can't remember
Green
the name
Valley
of it.
Ranch?
No. I saw you there too. I saw you there on Christmas, actually.
Really? Oh my God, dude.
My sister lives in Vegas.
Oh, really? She live in Henderson?
No, she lives in Summerlin.
Okay, yeah.
But I spend every Christmas with them, so
that's cool.
I saw you guys play on Christmas there once. But no, this was before that, and
I can't believe we played on Christmas. Can you? That's so heavy metal.
It was my favorite part of the show. I still tell people, I still laugh about this. So you guys did the whole show, and it's Christmas, and like you can't escape it. It's fucking Christmas. Everyone's like got a little bit of, you know, and you guys finish and do your encore, and you come back out, and you're like, I know a lot of you guys have been drinking, and it's the holidays, and we just want everyone to be safe. So, you know, if you had a little bit too much to drink, make sure you do some blow first, leaving you right out.
Before you drive.
Before you drive.
Yeah, dude.
I was like, he couldn't, like, not even for a second could he just be
It's Christmas.
A human moment.
You have to be human. Well, you bring it to being human, and then you, like, but, you know, the ironic thing is that's really what I used to think.
I used to think, man,
if I just get some blow, I'll be able to drive, you know? And for real, that was my mentality back then when I was a kid.
Wow.
You know, like 50 years ago.
Yeah.
No. So, Empire Ballroom.
You look great for your age.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate it.
I Googled your age, and I was like, no fucking way that guy's
that old. I'm getting old, dude. Fuck.
Like, because that's sometimes the old man jokes that Satchel's making on stage, like, they don't always translate.
That's because he's jealous.
Yeah,
I'm the lead singer, and he really wants to be a lead singer.
He does.
You know, and it's hard, man. It's a big struggle. I want to be the lead guitar player and a lead singer, and I have to relent. You know, and then we also have the song struggle, too. I want to write songs, too.
Yeah?
You know, but we have a voting system, and whoever writes the best song gets their song in.
Mm.
Just the way it goes. So was it the Empire Ballroom you saw?
That's what it was. Yeah? Empire Ballroom, yeah.
I remember I did some blow off some strippers' boobies there. I'm not kidding. It was the, what do they call those porn awards out there?
Oh, AVN?
AVN, yeah. And that, we were playing that one time there for that. And there was blow everywhere and a bunch of fucking porn stars. And I was like, well, I guess we're going to do blow and go sing. It was cool. It was a great night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think I saw you there twice.
Really? Yeah, we used to play there weekly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like I happened to be there.
We went for Green Valley and we're trying to get on the strip. We just couldn't get there.
Yeah.
You know, we're like kind of off on the offskirts. And and then, you know, I don't know if you know this, but we used to play Summerlin in 1996, I think.
Whoa, no.
Every Tuesday night. We did it for like 5-6 months.
Crazy.
And we got fired. Because they brought in a new general manager. He said, no more derogatory comments and no, you know, swear words. Let's clean up the show. So we went out there. We're like, all right, we're no longer allowed to talk about dicks. So we're going to talk about male chickens. Cocks all night long. Right? The guy goes, you're fucking fired.
Yeah, man. It's crazy you guys have had such a, I don't want to say weird career, but it's kind of backwards. Like, you guys started out as the residencies. You know, most artists, they do them at the end of their career. You guys were doing, I mean, multiple ones in Vegas at the same time. LA,
yeah, we were doing Friday and Saturday in Vegas.
Yeah, House of Blues, Green Rally Ranch. Those were the long ones I remember.
Right. And then we did Monday nights in Hollywood, wherever, whatever venue we could. And we did that for 13 years straight.
13 years. Yeah.
And then we went from, and then we did Wednesday nights in San Diego. We did that for 8 years straight, every Wednesday night. And then we did Thursdays in Long Beach for a while. And so we were doing Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So we did...
It's a grind, though.
Oh, dude, it was... like, but for us, it was great because we were just grateful to get paid to play heavy metal, right? So we're playing these shows, and the crowds are starting to build up, and... you know, we're picking up momentum as a cover band, and it was an exciting, super exciting time for us.
I mean, the expenses must have been low, too. Like, we talk about the real
shit. What expenses?
Shit. There's no expenses.
No,
there's
we split the cash at the end of the
night.
There's
no one to pay. You know, you guys, I assume you guys just left your gear, left gear there or whatever.
No, we didn't leave gear. The drummer brought his gear, or they had gear there.
Yeah.
So all they did, all Satchel and Lexi would do would bring their guitars and basses and sticks.
So back to my story, and this segues into what we're going to talk about. So I saw you guys, I think, twice at Empire, I guess. And then, you know, I was back in Vegas a few times, and I guess I was missing your shows. And a couple years go by, and I'm like, do you remember that band Metal School? Like, what happened to them? And someone's like, yeah, I don't know. And I, like, Googled it, couldn't find anything. So I went on Twitter, literally went on Twitter and was like, there used to be this, like, band from Vegas, or I don't know where they're from. And someone's like, yeah, they're called Steel Panther now. Like, they're doing original songs. So I, like, crazy. So I Google it, and literally the next day after I Googled it, your first album came out.
Really? That's amazing.
It was
story.
Such weird timing.
Yeah.
So I went and picked up the record and fucking laughed my ass off and was like, this is fucking great and fantastic and in some ways surprising because, you know, you guys must have ultimately had to take a step back to take the steps forward. Now you're playing here like 3,000 cap room in Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah.
Which you probably didn't even know if that was possible at the time.
When never.
You guys were,
not
were
even
just a resident
5 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this is it just keeps slowly, for us, luckily, it's a slow momentum up. It's not a really quick up. It's just word of mouth and slow. That's a slow rise for us. And, you know, we see it by our ticket numbers. But obviously, you can't really go by your sales because it's hard to
there
really,
aren't what sales
how do you know you know
yeah
and streams are like they can be seductive because they sound killer but they don't always translate into ticket sales so really the only thing you can go by is your ticket sales at shows
100% agree
who's coming out to your shows and for us so far it's been a nice slow rise for us it's been great, it's
amazing but yeah I just like that first record coming out and I was like thinking to myself is this gonna work you know is this gonna work as a band with like that can have longevity that can put out albums and it did really well did you guys think this is well if this all fades away or fucks up we just can go back to Vegas again
well you know when that first record came out
we were still doing it
we were still doing residencies
yeah
because that was our lifeline for eating you know, yeah. And all that stuff. So
and Styx Mansion,
in Panorama City.
I feel like I should sit over here. I'm like, banged my head against the painting.
I think you can buy that.
I mean, it's from Urban Bar. Urban Barn.
You can probably buy that at Walmart somewhere. Anyways, you know, we kept those. Basically, I guess you would call them day jobs for bands as a cover cover job, right? So, you know, we kept those. And what we did is when the label said, hey, we booked you a tour in Europe and UK, and we want you to go over there and support the record. We're like, well, who's going to pay us? Because we're just getting paid. They're like, no one's paying you. We're going to help with the expenses, but you're not getting paid. So we had to take off, like, I think we took off 4 weeks from our residencies. The whole 4 weeks, a whole month of our income, and we invested that into the tour in Europe. And luckily, when we landed in Europe and the UK, it was like people were waiting for us. It was really awesome. Like, we had no idea that would happen, and we just gambled on it and went for it. And we all quit all our other bands. Like, Satchel and I were doing the Atomic Punks, which is a Van Halen tribute. Lexi had his own band he was in, and Styx had his own band. We quit every other band when we got signed and put all our eggs in the one Steel Panther basket and went for it.
Well, I mean, after doing that for, 13 years, was it getting boring too? I mean, like,
no,
this...
it was not getting boring. It was, like I said, it was like a slow rise for us. So, you know, we were in Green Valley Ranch, Empire Ballroom, and then we're now at the House of Blues on the Sunset Strip. That was like such a big deal and such a big accomplishment for us that we were stoked to be there.
Yeah.
And then we're doing the House Blues on Sunset. It's like the most... We started out at the Viper Room, small venue. Roxy, medium-sized venue. Key Club, pretty big place. House of Blues.
Yeah, sure.
The hugest venue on the Sunset Strip. Yeah. So, slow rise kept going up, and it was exciting for us. And during all that time, we were working on a TV show with Comedy Central, you know, and the pilot and all that stuff. So there was a lot of excitement around that.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's been just so, so crazy. And, I mean, going to, you know, obviously a lot of your music it's comedy. There's a lot of jokes. You're like, when you're bringing that to other countries and stuff, was there a fear that maybe they're not going to get it? It's not going to work the same way? Some of the, like, banter. I mean, I don't know if you guys have been to Asia much. You have one of your hit songs, Asian Hooker. I don't know how that goes over, like, when you play in Japan. I don't know. Was there a fear there? Because obviously it worked out.
Well, we did Ozfest in Tokyo. And well, the first one we did was, I think it was called Loud Fest,
okay,
if I'm not mistaken. And
like a massive festival, one of those?
A big festival. And we went on at like 3 PM, and it was completely just packed for every band, not just us. I think they started playing bands at 10 AM.
Wow.
And it was just, people were just watching every single band. And Styx says, what are we going to open up with? And I go, I don't know, Eyes of a Panther. He goes, no, let's open up with Asian Hooker. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And we went out and we started the night off with Asian Hooker.
Just pushed all in
Tokyo.
Right there.
Yeah. We just said, fuck it, let's go for it. And we did it, and we realized that a lot of people didn't really understand what we were singing about, you know? And that was probably a good thing. And then we came back and did the Ozfest. It was kind of the same thing. And then we came back and did our own tour over there. But it's so far, like, Germany, I would say, was the hardest one to read in the sense that... I don't know if these fuckers want to kill us or they love us because they're not looking like they're having a good time. And it turns out they fucking love it. They're so in the dirty, like really in the dirty, and they love metal.
Yeah.
So the combination was just, it's really fun in Germany. It's a huge place.
I love Germany. My band does amazing there too. It's probably our best market. And I always talk about on this podcast, the review, which is after you meet somebody after your show, they always come up to you and they say, your show tonight, pretty good. Last time, much better.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, thanks? Yeah. Wait, what?
Thank you?
Yeah, okay. And then they'll say things like, last time you play 15 songs, this time only 14. Why is this?
Why you cheat us?
Yeah, but they keep coming back.
Yeah, it's amazing. Doing interviews there, it's... At first, it was scary because, you know, we don't know what to expect. I mean, my only experience was Hawaii as a kid. That was it. You know, in Canada, maybe like Calgary. But as far as like going to Europe, it was a complete whole new world, man. And like I was telling you, the excitement just kept going for us. You know, we went from the cover band to the original band. And I remember the first day we noticed, the first show where we noticed that we made the transition is when we were playing Vancouver and
we used to play the Commodore all the time, right?
All the time.
Yeah.
And we do this, you know, we're doing a set and we don't know before the show, are we a cover band or what do we do here? Because our first record had come out.
Yeah.
And so we're like, all right, we'll just open up with four of our songs and then we'll do some Bon Jovi. Because, you know, that's what we're a cover band. We got to do.
Right.
And we start playing Bon Jovi and people are like, boo.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, oh, my God, we're not a cover band anymore. They actually bought tickets to hear our record. They have no idea we're a cover band. They bought the record, got tickets, and came to the show. So it was really cool. But always do Van Halen. That always works. Everyone loves Van Halen.
Well, I was looking at your set list. I don't want to spill the beans for people coming out on this tour, but I don't think you're playing.
Don't worry.
Oh, you change it?
No, they can look online.
They can.
Setlist FM, man.
I know. I'm guilty of looking at like myself. I don't like to spoil shows that I want to see, but sometimes I'm like, I just want to see.
I want to know when I'm going to stay or when I'm going to leave.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we don't do a bunch of new songs on our tours because people don't know them. You know, they may hear them in the car, and I don't know about you, but even when I heard Van Halen 1984 when it first came out, I was like, that's an okay record. You know what I mean? And I'm like, now it's like legendary.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, people, when you
first.
It takes time for a record to seep in because you have your own expectations of what you want to hear. And if it doesn't exceed that, or I mean, if it doesn't match that expectation, then you might have to live with it for a little bit if you're a super fan. But yeah, well, so, you know, I like to look at the set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're not playing any covers, are you?
No. Maybe.
Are there places that you do it? Like, or like you feel like you have to still? Like, are people expect it? Like, maybe in Vegas? Because you guys still do that sometimes?
Unfortunately, we haven't played Vegas in quite some time. But yeah, we do struggle with that because Vegas still, we have a following that has been with us for a long time. And so we do, we usually will do a combination there. But, you know, last year we did the whole Sunset Strip. Live tour, excuse me, and that basically was a, you know, it was basically our show that we used to do back in the day on the Sunset Strip. So we brought in all the covers and stuff, and did that. So now we're in the mindset of like, oh well, we got to change up our last tour, and we just should just do original stuff.
Yep, no, I prefer the originals when I see you guys. So, like, how many times, especially now. I love Bon Jovi as much as the next guy, but how many times have I heard that song? Like, it's
right. Do something different, like
right. So, new Steel Panther album, Heavy Metal Rules, is out now. LP 5.
Yeah,
is that crazy?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's an insane number.
Did you think you'd get to LP 5?
Hell no.
Like, I didn't.
That doesn't include the live record either.
Right.
That's just studio records.
Right.
And then a live DVD. That was a big deal for us to put out.
Yeah. Well, it's not a sellout record at all. There's no, you know, I've kind of been waiting for your career to take, like, for you guys to do the, like, the kind of clean song that kind of just gets you on the radio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you guys have never went there. Like, there's more F words and more vulgar shit.
Because we won't get on the radio, even if we do that. And it's not what we want to do artistically. We want to do what we like to do. You know, and the reality is, really, we're not going to get played on the radio. People, I mean, especially in America, we get played on the radio in Germany. But, you know, Germany's a whole different beast, right?
Yeah, it is.
But it's just the way it is, man. The brand has been branded. Steel Panther is a dirty, non-PC band, and if you play them, then you're associated with us, and that's just the way it is.
Well, you're on the show. I'm in bed with you guys now.
I know.
I mean, they got you on the show.
Say goodbye to Clear Channel.
I would have had you. I would have had you on the show in the first month, though, because I don't know. This is in essence what like the whole point of my show is to talk to people from different walks of life about what we do.
Yeah. Well, we do what we want to do.
Yeah.
And
you really do.
I think that's what is attractive to people, I think, because we just really just, I mean, it's not like we're trying to fake it and come up with all these ideas to wow people. It's just, I mean, you're in a band. You understand. I mean, you hear the songs, and it's not, it's the real, it's just real shit.
It is real shit.
I mean, it's just real stuff that every band laughs about when they're fucking on tour, but they can't sing about it in their serious band.
The fucking line you had about the drum tech.
It's true. I was
like, yeah, it was true. It's true.
It's all true.
It's all true, but then it's not all true because, like, you're a pretty good dude. Like, you know, it's...
Well, listen, I'm not... I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But, you know, we also are living... We've lived those experiences, too, right. as well. You know, this is... I mean, I'm 54 years old. It's been a long road for me. And I've learned what works for me and what doesn't work for me anymore. And, but, you know, yeah, man, we... All those songs came from experiences that we have had.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I love it.
Except for the shocker. I've never given the girl... No, I've given the girl a shocker. Yeah, I have, yeah.
I had a fan question real quick while we're on the topic.
Yeah, I love that.
This comes from Andre Nielsen. He asks, Michael, I need a rough estimate on the amount of puss you have crushed.
Hmm.
He needs this. This is important.
Well, Andre?
Andre. He's from Australia, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, I got to be honest with you, dude. The number's not that high, and I'm very picky.
Like, oh, yeah.
Super picky. Yeah. Yeah. Straight up.
Okay.
Yep.
No, even before. So, rough estimate is.
Probably. Well, let's start weekly and we can add it up, right? So.
Weekly, okay.
You know what I mean?
We're going statistically. Okay, yes.
Well,
how many
know.
Per week?
I
okay.
Don't know
yeah.
how else add it up. On a good week, maybe one a week, right?
Okay.
That's a good week.
Okay.
You know, and then some other. So, let's say an average month would be two.
Okay.
Okay, so there's 52 weeks in a year. That's 104 chicks a year.
Yeah.
Right.
That's, yeah. So that's not too much.
Yeah, 104. It's not that many.
That's two a week.
You said two a week, yeah.
2 a week, okay.
2 a week.
You said two a month.
But no, you have to account for your time off, too, as well. You know what I mean? So when you're home, it's like it's not as active. You got to take a break.
What about three-ways?
Three-ways.
Does that factor into the equation?
Not really, no.
Okay.
Because three-ways make up for, I guess... Two a week would be probably accurate.
So you're not
even
quite
including three ways.
You're not quite at Will Chamberlain numbers.
Fuck no, or Gene Simmons.
Yeah, what
I mean, you have
Will Chamberlain number was 20,000.
Yeah, you got to fuck some ugly chicks to get that number. Straight up.
Well, I mean, not 54 years, but if you're talking about 100 a year, how many? That's a lot, dude.
Is it?
I mean, are we talking about over 1,000?
I guess I don't know. I've never really. Did the numbers
okay.
for hey well, I'll just tell you this, I'm STD free.
That's so funny that you say that, because that's the next question from Zach Weissenberger.
Yep. Oh, is he German?
He must be. He asks have you been to the doctor recently to get checked out?
Yeah, dude, all the time.
All the time. I guess you
well,
have
and
to.
Not just for STDs. I mean, I get an annual checkup, man, physical. You know, get my blood work done, make sure my testosterone's pumping hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, get all check for cancer, all that stuff, because I want to keep on rocking for a long time.
Well, on a serious note, you did have some vocal issues for this last record.
I did.
Has that happened to you before?
No, it's the first time I ever dealt
scary.
With that. Yeah, put it this way. It was so scary for me that I didn't want to talk about it. That's how scary it was. It was scary in every aspect, not only losing my voice, fearing the end, fearing me being weak, all that shit.
Oh, man.
And, you know, perception of other people, what they would think of me. And then I just, as I started recovering from it, I was like, oh, my God, man, I'm going to tell everyone about it, because there's other singers that might be going through it and need to know that you can get through it, you know? So here's what happened.
Yeah.
I ended up with a little callus on my vocal cord.
Okay.
And then it kind of exploded into a blood blister, right? And so when I got home from tour and I was singing in the studio in November of last year, my voice sounded different. And so I went to my voice guy, he checked it out, he said, oh, you have like a note on your voice. I'm like, what? Anytime I've ever heard anyone talk about a note, the only stories I've ever heard were, you're never going to sing again. That's what I heard. And so he goes, he put me on vocal rest for like a week. And that means no talking.
Yeah.
So I did that.
So depressing.
It is the most isolating, depressing, scary thing ever. But the the good thing is I went back to him and he said, hey, it's gone down, but it's not going to go away. It's a thick callus, so you need to get it cut out.
Oh, wow.
So we had to delay the recording of the record and scrap everything I recorded because there was a weird undertone in it. And we had to postpone our tour. And I got the surgery done. And I had to go on vocal rest for 3 weeks, I think it was.
Really? So nothing for 3 weeks at all?
Yeah, I mean, the first week I didn't say shit.
That's after the surgery?
Yeah.
So what's the surgery like?
Pretty simple. I went in his office, scared out of my brain, thinking my whole world's ending. I'm going to let all my band members down. And I was completely just devastated. Like, I felt like the end of the world had hit me. You know, and I have family and people to take care of. And I was like, fuck, I don't know what I'm going to do if I can't sing. And
it's brutal, man.
And so I ended up going into the office. It was in Beverly Hills for my doctor. I don't know why I told you that. Just make fuck. It was in Beverly Hills. And anyways, because Beverly Hills is scary, because either you're going there for a facelift or a fucking abduct something.
Right. Like, how are those things the same?
Yeah, they're not the same.
Right.
But in retrospect, I got a vocal lift. So anyways, I went there. I laid down. He put me in a Twilight with some Valium and something else that was killer. I highly recommend that for recreational use. And I woke up, and I was out of it. I got driven back to my house, and I laid down, and that was the end of it. And then I just started.
And then after that 3 weeks of no talking?
I started vocal rehab after that.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized that I had to relearn how to sing. Because I've been dealing with this callus for longer than I knew. And, you know, callus, I don't know if you know. Anyways, so my vocal cords were different. The callus was shaved off, so I had to relearn how to sing. And so I took vocal rehab lessons and learned a bunch and gained a bunch of new knowledge that I had never known. And now my voice is better than it was 5 years ago.
Wow.
So it's a success story.
Yeah, totally. Totally. The fact that you're still here doing it.
Yeah, but I mean, so if anybody's dealing with that, any singers that are dealing with that, just go get yourself checked out. And, you know, my guy's really good. So if anyone needs him, just email me.
Okay.
And I'm still vaping. So just take that
into
consideration.
That'll kill you. That shit'll kill you, literally.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Yep. So will Jack Daniels and cocaine. And dirty pussy.
Yeah.
Yep.
All of them will.
Yep.
Are you a lot more careful now, though, with your, like, do you warm up more? Are you guys, like, with your tour routing, are you planning for more days off, like that kind of shit?
The only thing we try to look out for is sleep deprivation. That's the...
Oh, that's what kills you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Like, when we do fly dates, or we have a flight in between a date, or whatever the case may be, border, all that shit you don't think about until you're fucking woken up by the border patrol.
Yep.
Yeah, the sleep thing is really important. So our drummer requires about 5 hours sleep. I require 8.5.
Yeah.
You know, and it's purely because that's I need it for my voice. You know? Singing's a...
It's such a weird thing. Like, I don't understand the science. What the fuck does sleep have to do? Like, I understand water. Because, like, that's hydration and it's a moving part. But what sleep? It's weird.
I don't know. I think it's just, like, turning off your computer. You know, instead of just shutting it, it's like you turn it off and it reboots and everything's cool when you turn it back on. And I feel like that's what a nap does for me too sometimes.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that's what we did. We try to do that. We try to like not do too much radio in the morning.
That's horrible.
You know, it's a tough balance because we want to do it because we want everyone to hear our new music and all that stuff. So it's a tough balance.
Yeah.
But they're not going to hear anything if I can't sing. So
yeah, that's
and
that's scary
why
shit.
We're talking right now.
Right.
Lead
no, I appreciate
singer,
you doing
right?
it because, like, I know so a lot of people that would go through what you would have gone through would be like, no fucking interviews, no talking before the show. Like, but
for
me, I find I have to a little bit. Like, if I go into it too cold, it's kind of good to be up and around and talking all day. That's just
you know,
me personally.
If I'm hurting, I don't normally warm up. What I'll do is I'll like get in the shower. And do that, maybe sing a little bit in the shower. But as far as like traditional warm up, I very rarely do that. And I just try to not talk as much because I like to fucking talk. And that's one thing I have to like just chill out or change the note of my talk kind of go here instead, you know?
Oh, that helps?
Yeah, it helps a lot because then I'm down here and it's always grinding there. Or I can go up here and it's a little clearer, you know?
Yeah.
Because I've been grinding and talking a lot today. So I try to change the timbre just a little bit.
Interesting that, yeah, I guess that it wearing, it like wears you down in a different way, kind of?
Yeah, no, it's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah, and so like I just think about being this high instead, man.
Okay,
you know,
yeah, yeah. No, there's nothing worse than like a loud bar, though, and you're talking
over
music or something.
Yeah, and I think I did that this tour. I went out a couple times after, and I'm talking over Van Halen shit. Or whatever
actually,
was under
I actually met you, speaking of loud bars, I was so drunk that I barely remember.
Oh, that's killer.
And I don't know about you. I can't really remember. I mean, I can't really remember. What? It was in Brisbane, Australia. I was hanging out with some people, and I was like, oh, were you at our show? They're like, no, we were at the Steel Panther show. Steel Panther is in town, and literally, like, I looked at the door and you walked in, and I was like, okay, yeah, it was a fucking bar called Crowbar.
Yeah,
I think it's Brisbane. Yeah, Brisbane. Yep. Yeah, and we I don't know. I didn't just said hi to you or whatever.
We used to go
out a lot. I was fucking hammered.
Yeah, everyone's hammered at Crowbar.
Yeah, but I get this weird like jet lag. Where I almost call it like reverse jet lag, where I can't really sleep and then I'm just like awake and then I'm not really even tired anymore.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling.
Yeah, and that happens all the time in Australia.
I don't think I've ever been to Japan and felt normal because it's such a mind fuck with the time difference and the change and being jet lagged. Same thing with Australia. It takes by the time we get to Perth, I'm like, all right, man, I'm adjusted.
Yeah, because the tours are so short, because there's so few places to play. Yeah,
2 weeks.
By the time
max.
You're adjusted, then you head back, and then you're fucked up again.
Yep.
And it's like you can have this literally like a month of jet lag.
Dude, tour we did, we did the tour of Australia, and we ended in Perth. Then we got up, didn't sleep that night after the show because we had an early flight. We flew to Sydney, then we flew to LAX, and then we flew to London. And then we flew London to Helsinki and started the next tour. And that was an 8-week run. It was fucking brutal, man.
No.
That's called heavy metal.
Heavy metal.
That's why we're sitting here right now, from that hard work, man.
That's right. I guess so, man.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Hey, you know what? When I was a little kid and I used to dream about being in Van Halen, I never dreamed about anything but the glory part, you know, the fun part, being on stage. You know, that's the part that matters the most. That's when the party begins. But, man, there's like 23 hours or 22 and a half hours of all the other stuff nobody really thinks about. And it's you have to take care of yourself a little bit. You can't just do blow and fuck bitches all the time. You have to, like,
sleep,
eat food that's good for you. Like, I have these new...
Yeah, what are these?
They're spicy, sweet chili Doritos.
I want to take a look. Are these these aren't the vegan ones, are they? Oh, they are the vegan ones.
Yeah, huh?
Did you know that you're vegan right now?
Hell no.
Yeah, these are the... because I'm vegan, so these are good. These are good.
How do you
maybe
know
I'll even have one.
Do they say that?
No, I just know. They used to be called Sweet Chili Heat.
Yeah.
And this is the same color, so I figured these are the ones, but yeah. No, it says contains soy and wheat ingredients, so there's no milk in these.
Cool.
So there you go.
Yeah, they're really good. But obviously they're not a good source of vitamin C, but who cares? I do take vitamin D because there's no sun out right now.
You take vitamin D?
Yeah.
Actually?
Yeah.
You're a big vitamin guy?
No, I'm not a vitamin guy. But
just vitamin D.
I got my blood work done. It was low in vitamin D, so.
Mostly vitamin B for me. That's the beer vitamin. So one of the I'd say there's a few really great standout tracks on the new record. My personal favorite is Always Gonna Be a Hoe, I would say. Are you a big fan of that one?
I am.
So I love the video, but what's funny is when I first heard the song, I thought the lyrics were different. I thought you were saying
what?
That you were tasting your lady friend's mouth on Satchel's dick. Rather than his dick on her mouth. And I was that's an amazing line. And I was like, oh, shit, I misheard it wrong.
Yeah, well, we try to be amazing. That's like a German question. That would have been such an amazing line, but obviously you're not amazing enough to do the way I thought it would be.
Exactly. That's exactly what I just did.
But you know what, though? It used to be Lexi's dick. And I thought, she wouldn't be sucking Lexi's dick. She'd be sucking my dick. So I changed the words. I don't think he knew it till the record came out.
Really? It was changed? It was actually recorded that way, and then he changed it.
Yeah, changed
it. But, like, Lexi, let's be honest, he's not. He's by himself.
You don't even know if he gets his dick sucked by chicks.
Probably not.
Right?
Right.
It's a very, like, up-in-the-air kind of question.
Yeah,
Is Lexi gay?
I don't know.
Is he gay? I'm asking you.
Are all of you guys gay, though?
No, let's be serious now.
Okay.
All right. Is Lexi gay? In your opinion?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
All right.
That's my... Yep.
Awesome.
Or maybe he's not sure.
Oh, you can't backtrack.
Well, sometimes, though, you can be gay and you're really gay, but you're not sure yet.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But he is 50. I think you might know by now.
I'm telling you, you guys all look really good.
Thank you. I'm not going to tell you your sexuality.
No, don't. Please don't. And your latest single, Gods of Pussy, is out now.
Oh, yeah.
Great video.
That was a labor of love for me. That song. Yeah, man. I love that song.
Talk to me about the songwriting process for Gods of Pussy. Was that a Satchel joint?
Well, that was, like I said, our songs are biographies, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know you're in a band, so you understand. When you go to a town that you've been to, there's going to be someone that you know there.
Yes.
You know, and that's just the way life works. If you are friendly and you make friends, you're going to see them again when you come back. And it can be nice and comforting. But there's times when it can be difficult to navigate your old friends with your new friends.
Yes.
So it's hard to play. I don't know how to do it. It's still confusing for me. And I don't, one of the things that we say in Community Property is just be honest with your significant other and let them know that you're Cox's Community Property. Life's a lot easier if you're all in the same playing field, right? And the same thing with Gods of Pussy. I mean, you have to just really, it's just the way it is. Sometimes it's hard when all the girls want to fuck you.
So Gods of Pussy probably helps explain the situation.
It really does, yeah.
Right? Now they're, oh, okay. Now that we've heard this song, not only are you reinforcing the fact that you are the Gods of Pussy?
Well, let me just say this. Mm-hmm. Gods of Pussy is more of a infomercial, I guess, for becoming your own God of Pussy.
Okay.
Because it's hard for us to do it, so we're just like trying to give back to the community and let guys know that they're not alone and you can be a God of Pussy too. And it's hard to navigate it, but it can be done, you know? And the best thing for me is just to be straight up with every girl that comes. Go, look, I got another chick coming. Sorry. You know?
Right.
If you want to join us, that's cool too. You know what I mean? And if you're navigating that kind of pussy, then you deserve the title God of Pussy.
God of Pussy.
I think.
It's a great video.
I just crown you God of Pussy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Wow.
And I mean, God is such a heavy word.
Yeah.
Right? Because people associate God with a lot of different things all over the world. And, the guy right outside our bus may think a different conception of God than you do, right?
Right.
So for me, God is just good, orderly direction. That's it. That's all it stands for.
Wonderful.
Right.
That's great.
Use a condom.
Okay.
No. See, you don't use condoms.
You don't use condoms?
No.
Ever?
Yes. Sometimes, depending on what the girl
situation,
smells like.
Huh? Do you kind of feel out the situation?
Well, that's an ignorant way to look at it, I would imagine. If you're like talking to somebody that's actually responsible, but yes.
Yeah. Well, typically if the girl asks, you don't need to use one.
Huh. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going to use that all the time now. Thank you.
Yeah.
Are you asking me to wear a condom? We don't need one.
But that means that she asks everyone.
Oh, see? That's true. Yeah,
that's
right.
That's what I'm saying.
And then you just go. Yeah. You just do a prom date. Just a tip, please.
Just the tip. See how it feels. You guys, when you guys do your videos, do you have a big hand in the treatments, or does the kind of director kind of come up with the master plan? Because all your videos are so good.
Thank you. What we normally do is we have a few directors, a handful of ones that we really like to work with, and then we try to bring new directors into the fold. So what mm-hmm. we do is we'll send them a song, 5 or 6 directors, and let them write treatments for it.
Yeah.
And see what they come up with. And then sometimes we'll have something to give them to spitball from.
Right.
And then we just read it all through them and pick out which one we think is the funniest and that which one could actually be done for the budget submitted.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because some of them sound killer if you get a helicopter.
Well, the God's a Pussy one, like, that looks pretty big budget. I don't know if it is or not, but it looks, like, crazy.
Yeah, it's a really... We spent some money. We actually... Yes, we saved money for our videos. And we don't, and nobody pays for them except for us. We pay for all our own stuff. And then, you know, we what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, we're our own label, basically.
No, I noticed that you know, you look at the first four albums are on Universal, and then the next one's on Steel Panther Records or whatever you guys, you know, call it.
We started doing that for All You Can Eat.
Yeah.
Because our manager's like, you know what? You guys should just do your own label, and you'll make more money. And we were scared, but and Universal was fine with it. They're like, "Oh, we don't know what to do with you anyway, so see you later."
Yeah, what a band to sign! Like your original A&R guy must have just been.
It wasn't an A&R guy. It was Monty Littman. He's the the president of Universal Republic.
Right.
He came and saw us play. He's like, "Oh my god, this is killer!" And we didn't sign with him right away. We're like, "We don't want to sign with a big machine. Like, we'll get fucked."
Well, yeah. Right.
Right. And then, like, 8 months later, he came back. He's like, let's do this, man. And we're like, fuck, let's do this.
What did he hurt? Because you guys were playing some original songs. Like, you had the Metal School album already out.
Yeah, we had a Metal School record out, and it had Asian Fat Girl on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Death Hall with Metal.
Right.
And a couple other songs. It was just an EP. And then we also played a few of we played those songs live too as well. And then we also had recorded other songs. We recorded Asian Hooker and Community Property already. And so they've already heard those songs.
Mm-hmm. So they had heard them. They did know what they were getting into.
Right.
That's amazing. That's really crazy, man.
And he was the one who picked Death Album Metal for our first single.
Oh yeah. Was that really, like, was his idea for that just to basically be like, fuck you, we're here? Like,
yeah, I really thought it would be Eyes of a Panther. I thought that's the song we should go with. That way we'll get radio airplay, and it'll be a great introduction to the band, and then it'll get dirty.
Well, did you know that Eyes of the Panther is your number one track on Spotify?
Yes, I did know that.
Which is interesting, because it's like your cleanest song.
Yeah.
Isn't that, does that...
Well, it also was on a couple video games, too, as well. So that helps a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's probably why it was on the video games, and it perpetuated itself. But no, man, I don't have too much else to ask you. I appreciate your time and talking to me about everything. Anything else to tell the people? PSA from Michael Starr.
When's this going to be on?
Whenever.
Oh, okay. Then go to my Instagram. Check it out.
Instagram?
Yeah, it's Michael Starr.
Michael Starr.
Yeah.
Two R's
at the end, yeah.
Got it.
Check it out. I got 72,000 followers.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to beat the singer from Bad Wolves. Him and I are racing right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Tom Bevex?
Yeah,
he's a friend of the show.
He's beating me right now.
Where did this rivalry come from?
Oh, it started when he was filling in for Five Finger. Remember that, when that was all going down?
No, I didn't remember him filling in. That's wild, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Good times.
Cool.
I don't think he knows we're racing. I just decided
I'm
racing.
Are you a Bad Wolves fan?
Yeah, I like them.
You
a
like
lot.
Them?
Yeah, they're great. Tommy is a friend, so
yeah.
I really do like the band a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Big fan.
Is there any other newer bands that you like that aren't, you know, from the 80s?
Black Honey, I think they're called.
Black Honey? Uh-huh.
Do you know them?
No.
I really like, oh God. I haven't been listening to music cuz I've been touring and my ears hurt from my inners. So I've been listening to...
That's not supposed to happen.
I know, but I've turned them out too much, so...
Oh, really? You crank up your pack?
Well, I have it on limiter, but still, man, sometimes I'll have it limited, and I have it up, and then I pop my ears, and it gets really loud, and it's my ears just hurt, so I have to be careful and aware of that.
No, it's true. I always, like, my ears are ringing after shows. I'm like, okay, I'll turn my pack down, and then, like, it just gets louder
keeps
and louder.
Getting louder.
It's like
louder.
The hot water in the shower.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just like, oh, I'll turn up a little bit, and then by the end, you're, like, scolding yourself.
Yeah, you're all red.
Yeah.
So I have our monitor guy limit the amount of source to me, so it can only go up so high, because girls will come on stage and accidentally put their arm around me and turn my pack all the way up. Like,
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not fun. So now that's eliminated. But I like the Struts.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're cool.
Cool. They were out with White Reaper. That's a band I really like, too. You should check it out.
Yeah, they're good.
They're like a bit of a throwback, kind of...
I like Crobot, too. We toured them recently, yeah. And they're really fun guys, man.
Cool.
And right now we're on road with Stitched Up Heart. It's hard for me to say because I have dentures and they fall out. So anyway, Stitched Up Heart, yeah, they're cool, man. We've been jamming and hanging out. It's fun.
See,
okay, man. Wait, nothing else to tell the people?
Nope.
Check out Instagram rocking. And keep it rocking and go see Steel Panther live.
Yeah. And if you go vegan, try the Doritos.
What are they? Sweet, spicy, sweet chili.
Yep. Peace out.
You heard it here first. Before I let you go, I always play music at the end of the podcast.
Can you play some Steel Panther?
Yes, we can play some Steel Panther.
That's
absolutely.
Because cool. We were talking about it before we turned the mic on, and I want to hear a song by us. It's called, it's an anthem for anyone who wakes up in the morning and has to go to work or at night.
Yeah.
And you're in line and someone's pissing you off and you just want to tell them to fuck off.
Yeah.
This song's called Fuck Everybody.
This is highly relatable.
Yeah.
Everyone can relate to this.
Everybody.
And this just proves, you know, I was talking about it's your fifth album. There has been some growth.
Thank you.
It's not just drugs and hookers.
No, it's not.
And chicks and it's not all partying.
Wait till you hear the show tonight.
Okay.
I
cannot wait.
There's some new stuff in there. It's cool. And
well, here it is. Fuck Everybody on Lead Singer Syndrome. Thanks, Michael.
Syndrome.
So there is Fuck Everything by Steel Panther. Panther. Very, very relatable music. I want to thank Michael so much for doing this, for putting Lead Singer Syndrome back into the Lead Singer Syndrome podcast. It's very important that we have these kind of guests on the show. Next week, I'll be back with another great episode. Hit the subscribe button. Make sure, because you do not want to miss it. I will leave you with a tune. Why not make it the song that started it all? The first track on the first record. Here it is, Death to All But Metal on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. We'll see you next week.